to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We finished last week with the 10th commandment. We'll continue for another 3 or 4 weeks looking at some other things regarding the Ten Commandments. I want to consider today and next week the effect and impact that these commandments had upon the people. Again, the Ten Commandments are not given to harm us in any way. They're not given to make our lives unhappy. They're given to protect us, most of all, from ourselves. We, as we said many times as we looked at these commandments, we need to picture them as a fence or a border that God puts around our lives, a hedge. And for God's fences, God's borders, God's hedges, we ought to be thankful. Remember, that was Satan's complaint concerning Job, that God had put a hedge about him. We thank God for his hedges, his fences. And all the Word of God serves as a fence or border. God's providence serves as fences and borders. But it shows that God is interested in us, that he is interested in our well-being. And again, we need to just consider the Ten Commandments, view the Ten Commandments as a border. They serve as a border in our individual lives. They serve as a border in your home. And this isn't just concerning saved people. Even a lost man, the Ten Commandments are for his good. And if he would observe them, obey them, respect them, his life would be better. He might die and go to hell, but his life on earth would be better. And once again, that's true of all the Word of God. So in verse 18 through verse 21, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings." They would have heard the thunderings, saw the lightnings, "and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." That is, they backed up. "And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear." They're asking Moses to stand between them and God. They saw their need for a mediator. "But let not God speak with us, lest we die." It shows the power of these words of God speaking. As they heard this, they felt that they could die right there. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not." That is the kind of fear they were possessing at that moment. "For God has come to prove you, to test you, and that his fear," it's a different kind of fear, "may be before your faces, that you sin not." And the people stood far off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Where God was. In the giving of the Ten Commandments from these verses that we've just read, we see that there was a revelation of God. God unveiled himself. There was a revelation of God. The Ten Commandments, of course, are revelation from God. Word of God is a revelation from God. But as we read or as we hear the Word of God, we also need a revelation of God. There was a connection here. There's the revelation from God, the actual Ten Commandments. But we see the mountain smoking and the fire and the thunder and the lightning, the voice of God. All of this was a revelation of God. Again, it makes quite a difference in our life when we hear the Word of God, not just from God, but that we have a revelation of God. And this is what occurred. So there was an immediate and powerful impact and effect upon the people. That should always be the case with the Word of God. And we see it, and when we see it as a revelation from God, and when there is a revelation of God in the hearing of God's Word, there will always be an immediate and powerful effect. Always. And I'm talking immediate, right now. It has an impact and an effect. So let's consider the deliverance of the Ten Commandments. First of all, consider the whole scene. The scene of the giving of the Ten Commandments. We know that God spoke the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. Notice in Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 through 18, we see in these verses the scene is depicted. Verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount. So we are getting the picture. There's thunder and lightning, and I believe this was an extraordinary thunder and lightning. And there was a thick or heavy cloud upon Mount Sinai, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. That's a particular kind of fear, a trembling fear, a fear of dread. It's the fear that came upon them immediately as they heard the Ten Commandments. Verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, to meet with God. That, of course, should always be the case when we come to hear the Word of God. That should be our intention, to meet with God. We've come to meet with God. We've come to hear a revelation from God, and we've come to behold the revelation of God, or the unveiling of God. So they came to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. Okay, so they hear the thunder, they see the lightning, they see this cloud upon the mountain. No one wanted to get too close to that mountain. There was this fear about them. And again, this is a fear of dread. Verse 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether, or completely, on a smoke. The reason, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So, we get the picture. Again, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's a thick cloud upon the mount. Voice of the trumpet is exceeding loud, that is, it exceeds loudness, it goes beyond loud. In verse 18, Mount Sinai was altogether, completely and totally on a smoke. The reason is because of the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire, which is emblematic of His glory and His majesty. And the smoke ascended from that mountain, the smoke of a furnace, and the whole or the entire mount quaked or shook and moved. And all of this was due to the majestic presence of God. Again, this is setting up the actual giving of the Ten Commandments. You cannot separate the Ten Commandments from the majestic presence of Almighty God. They take on an entirely different meaning when you see and you feel this majestic presence of the Lord. You see, our problem is, and the problem of the world, is too many times people look at the commandments independent of God. And they're not independent of God. There's a connection. And they take on an entirely different meaning when you are in the presence of God. And this is where the people were. So this is the scene. It's very important that we understand and that we get a picture of what was going on. So consider what the people saw and heard that day. Well, they saw and heard what is recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16 and 18. That is declared in Exodus 20, verse 18. Notice, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. So they saw these things. They not only saw them, I believe they felt all of these things. They saw the lightnings. They saw the dense cloud upon the mount. They saw the smoke. They saw the fire. They saw the mountain trembling. They heard the thunders. They heard the trumpet. They no doubt heard and felt the mountain quake. And most important, they heard the voice of God. They heard the voice of God. Too many times people hear the Word of God, the Bible, without hearing the voice of God. These people heard the voice of God. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? This is hearing the voice of God in such a way that it feels like you're going to die. That's what they heard that day, and that's also seen in their request of Moses. So this was a spectacular and awesome seen, upon which God spoke the Ten Commandments. It was at this striking and breathtaking scene that God spoke the Ten Commandments, and the people heard. And they not only heard, but they felt. Very similar to what we read in Isaiah chapter 6 with Isaiah in the temple. They heard and they felt the reverberating voice of God. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. So all of this, we see that the people did not hear in a nonchalant way. This was something that had a very powerful impact. It's something that we are greatly missing today. People hear, but they hear in a way that does not have any impact upon them whatsoever. By the time they get to the back, they've already forgotten. These people didn't forget this for some time. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, notice verse 22 through 24. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly. Okay, so the Lord spoke in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. They see the fire, and out of the midst of that fire is this reverberating voice of Almighty God, of the cloud. There's the fire, there's the cloud, there's a thick darkness. And it was out of all, and they could see all of that. And it was out of that there came this great voice. With a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me, Moses. Verse 23, and it came to pass, when you heard the voice, so God spake, they heard his voice out of the midst of the darkness. We can begin to see how this fear of dread came upon them. For the mountain did burn with fire. So much, and that is this, the fact that the mountain burned with fire explains their behavior. That ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness. So in the giving of the Ten Commandments was a display of the glory and the greatness of God. Which again gets back to this revelation of God. We need that. We need that when we hear the Word of God. We need a display of His greatness. A display of His glory. And we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day. So they've heard, they have seen that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. God speaks with man, and God lives. In other words, that day when they were hearing the Ten Commandments, they saw and they felt the reality of God. In Exodus 20, verse 1, the commencement to the Ten Commandments, we read, and God spake all these words. God spake all these words. As the people were witnessing the imposing sight of God's glory and majesty, God spoke. And as the people were witnessing Again, the imposing sight of God's glory and majesty, they heard God speak. And they heard God speak. God spoke in Exodus 20 and verse 2 from the perspective of His sovereignty. He said, "I am the Lord." In listening to the Ten Commandments, in reading the Ten Commandments, we need to hear God speak from this perspective, "I am the Lord." That is, I am sovereign. I am sovereign. These are not just words. These are not the words of man. God is speaking. Again, remember the scene. And God is speaking from His sovereignty. This, the Ten Commandments, is not a matter of my opinion or your opinion. It is God speaking from the perspective of His sovereignty. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I think. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I think. You'd better think about who is speaking this. I am the Lord. And this is how they heard it. They heard these commandments from the voice of a sovereign God. He also spoke from the relationship, from a covenant relationship with His people. I am the Lord thy God. It's not just I am the Lord the God. I am the Lord thy God. That speaks of a covenant relationship with His people. And God spoke from this perspective in His relationship with the people. Once again, He's not speaking these words to harm them. He's speaking these words to help them, to benefit them. It's amazing today. People's lives are in absolute shambles. They're living in adultery and fornication. They come and they want advice, and you tell them, well, first of all, you need to get out of that adulterous and fornicating situation. And they won't argue. And they won't argue. You can't help them. They know their life's miserable. But they absolutely refuse to stop doing what made their life miserable. And they act as if you're trying to ruin their life. When God spoke these commandments, again, it wasn't for ruin. It was to help us. He also spoke from the perspective of a Redeemer, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So the Ten Commandments have the foundation of the person and work of God. That's the foundation. The foundation is not man. The foundation is the person of God. It's the work of God. That's why no matter how hard man tries to do away the Ten Commandments, do away with the Ten Commandments, and no matter how much they protest that they're out of date, what they don't understand is that the Ten Commandments, the foundation is the person of God. And folks, God isn't out of date. And it's the work of God. And this also served, the person and work of God also serves the, has the motivation for you and I to obey the commands. So before God spoke a single commandment, He directed their focus upon Himself. That should always be the case. If we're going to properly hear the Word of God, the very first thing that needs to happen is God must have our attention. Our focus must be upon God. And therein lies the problem many times when people hear the Word of God. The fact that God spoke the Ten Commandments, I mean God Himself spoke them, reveal that they are not built upon the shifting sands of time. They are not built upon the reasonings of man. But they are built, they have their foundation upon God Himself. So the entire scene that we've looked at today, in which the Ten Commandments were given, teach us this one very, very valuable lesson. These commandments are not to be viewed as an independent set of rules from the person and work of God. These are not just a set of rules. They are a set of rules. But they are not just a set of rules to be viewed independently from God. They are connected in every way to God. God formed them. God spoke them. And any time we read the Ten Commandments or any of the commandments of God, we need to view them in light of the person of God. So he gives in verses 1 and 2 of Exodus 20, or verse 2, he introduces himself. He calls attention to himself. It's as if God said, I am the sovereign one who has entered into relationship with you. I am your Redeemer. Therefore, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And again, this is in a thundering voice. God isn't whispering these things. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. The reason for all of this, I am God. I am God. I have entered into a relationship with you, and I am your Redeemer. So, all of this had a very powerful impact upon the people, which is where we'll pick up next week as we see the impact of the people, that it had upon the people. But again, let us never read or hear the Word of God as independent from God, as somehow separated from God, leaving it open to our interpretation and our opinion. That's what people do. They separate it from God, which gives them, in their mind, gives them the liberty to do with it whatever they please. We must not make that mistake of separating the message of God from the messenger, who is God. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for loving us so much that you gave us these commandments for our own benefit, for our own good, for our own protection. Lord, we do pray that you'd help us to always view these in relation to yourself. Lord, that we would never look at your word, any part of your word, as independent from you. And Lord, that you would just help us to realize that all of these things are for our own welfare, for our own protection. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray now that you would help us to worship you in a way that would honor and glorify you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.